But I couldn't help but wonder, you know, what would it be like if everything you said were recorded and, you know, portrayed on loudspeakers? But you know, I've been asked to talk about, you know, fellowship. And the strange thing about fellowship and what we all know, fellowship is a lot like evangelism. You want to do it. You know it's necessary. And it's something that, you know, really you enjoy sitting down and talking to somebody. It's the actual first step. And it's the doing of that that's more difficult than, you know, the talking about it or the thoughts about it. But, you know, relationships, which is really what we're talking about when we talk about fellowship, relationships are one of the greatest blessings that God has given to us. If you could imagine a perfect person, never sinned, never done anything wrong, they've never had a bad thought, nothing. Could there be a perfect person that when God looked at their life, he would say, that's not good? Can you think of what would not be good in this person? Everything's right. They've never sinned. They've never done anything wrong. They've never had a bad thought. How can you say it's not good? Well, that's exactly what God said about Adam in Genesis. It is not good that man is alone. Of all the things, and it's important for us to live a holy life. Yes, it is also important for us to build relationships, for us to be involved in other people. You know, the problem, I guess, with being an American, with living in an American society, especially as it is today, we're busy. We don't have time. We don't have time for what we want to do. We don't have time for the people that are around us. How many of you, the people you talk to most in your day, are your coworkers? And you talk to them because, well, for lack of a better way to put it, you have to. That's the way so many of our lives work. That's not the way it has historically been, but that's what we've been dealt, more or less. But there are literally thousands of people that you have a relationship with. You know, when we're talking about a relationship, basically all it means is that there's something we have in common with this other person. For us as Christians, it's our relationship with God. That's our common denominator. Maybe there are people you work with, or people you play golf with, or people that you see every so often. I was at Ruby Tuesdays the other day. I literally spent 7 or 8 minutes talking with this guy that was in the salad bar line with me. Now, Ruby Tuesday's salad bar is really good. It does not take 10 minutes to go through the salad bar line. I wonder, as I talk to him, how lonely is he? And I enjoyed talking to him. He was a great guy. You enjoyed that time. But I couldn't help but wonder, as I sat down, if this guy can strike up a conversation with me for 10 minutes, talking about him and his kids and where he's from and all those general things, how lonely is he? We'll talk about this more in a minute, but if you have the book, you'll realize why I feel a little sheepish about the book. You see, well, my material makes up about a fifth of this book. I realize there are a lot of people that know a lot of stuff, and I feel like they could have probably put a lot more material as well. I'm not going to read the material. We don't have that long, not unless I want to read in auctioneer style. But in the book, there are a lot of things where we're talking about how we can build those relationships. And really what I did, because there was no other way I could think of doing it, I'm a preacher, I took it and I divided it into different points, and I talked about each one and the advantages and the disadvantages and how we can build those relationships. But there is a conundrum that is fellowship. We want to build relationships, but we don't have the time. We want to talk to other people and do things, but we can't get ourselves to do it. We have friends, but not Christian friends, and we don't really know how to make that change. How many of us have friends that we see daily or weekly, and we've invited them to church, and we've invited them to church, and they won't come? We have a relationship with them outside of church, but not one that involves church. How can we change that? How can we make that different? We love our spouses. Husbands, you love your wives, I hope. Wives, you love your husbands for whatever reason. More than likely, most of us, though, our spouse is our best friend, which is right, but they may be one of the only people that we really consider our friends. You know, new research more and more is showing that we have less relationships, less strong relationships than we did even in 1980. And, you know, that's some of the material in the paper as well. But I do want to begin by focusing on the positives, by focusing on the good things. You know, and the fact is, we're here because we do have a relationship with God. We do have people that we can talk to, that we can have a relationship with that is probably the strong, I suppose very easily, the deepest, most enduring, most meaningful relationship we can have. Why do I say that? Well, because these are people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people that are around you, these are the people literally that you will know forever. I know there are people that you say, oh, I've known them forever. You may have. But brothers and sisters in Christ, these are people literally you will know forever. In Philippians chapter 1, which is, you know, sort of the text that I've been given, we realize in Philippians 1, these first few verses, that literally these people he hasn't known very long. As far as we know, he's never been to Philippi. These are new Christians. Even if he had known them for a decade, this isn't a great big long period of time, especially when you travel as much as Paul did. Yet listen to the relationship that he has with these people. He starts out the book, and I love when you read the beginnings of books, you can tell a lot about what's going to happen in them. He says in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right, listen, it is only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Notice this whole section here, he's talking about the relationship he has with these people. And the reason he has that relationship is because they are partakers of the gospel with him. They have a relationship with him that transcends knowing them because he works with them or because they enjoy some of the same activities. He can invest this time because they're going to spend time together. And so we can enjoy fellowship with the family of God. And that's really what these few verses are talking about. We realize, you know, we have a relationship, a continuing relationship, because we're part of the family of God. You know, the guy I talked to in Ruby Tuesdays, remember him? I talked to him for just a few minutes. We talked about a lot of things. I don't remember his name. I don't remember his kids' names. I don't remember his wife's name. I don't remember where he's originally from. I don't know what he does for a living. He told me all of those things. I forgot. I forgot my wife's name for 3 weeks too, but that was for a different reason. The reason I forgot is probably the same reason that you guys forget. Some things, for whether it sounds bad or not, some things are just not important enough for us to remember. It's important for us to remember our Social Security number. It's not as important for us to remember one person we talked to for a few minutes. And yet, compared to eternity, how important is it for us to get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ compared to all the friends that we have? It's as important as talking to those people, convincing them of how important the gospel is, getting them involved in the local church. And that, yes, that's evangelism, but as much as that is evangelism, it is also fellowship, getting them involved in the local church, helping them become a part of the family of God. And so we realize we have a connection with our brothers and sisters in Christ because we are children of God, but also because we fulfill the purposes of God. And this is another thing that Paul is talking about in the text. You know, we read down in verse 5, and he says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Yes, he's talking about fellowship, but he's also talking about their participation in the gospel. They have the same purpose. They go out and preach the gospel. They go out and talk to their friends and neighbors. They're focused on the work of God. So is Paul. You know, I've met people at different times, various places in the country and in the world, really. And randomly, I don't know if you've done this, you run into people that you have a connection with and you don't even know who this person is. We were going up the Eiffel Tower and I randomly ran into a person who knew somebody that I went to college with at that time. We spent the whole time going up the Eiffel Tower talking to this guy, finding out who he knows and what's going on. There's a connection there that we didn't know existed. There's a connection with all of us in the purpose that we have in life, our purpose to serve God. Also, we realize, as he says in verse 6, that we have confidence. We can have confident fellowship. One of the reasons why we don't spend time getting to know people, we don't really know when we're going to see them again. How many of you have been in situations where you've talked to your boss for the first time, and you knew he was going to be your boss? This is your first conversation with him. How different is that from other conversations you'd have with other people? It's a lot different. Suddenly you know there's a long-term relationship here, and this is your first conversation. You want to start off on the right foot. That same thing is true when we're talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just a matter of getting to know them today and they might disappear. They're not going to disappear. Again, you can have confidence that you're going to know these people after here. As great as it is for us to enjoy that fellowship, though, really what I spend most of my time in my paper talking about, and what I would like to talk about in here as well, is how we can actually have that fellowship. Because, you know, sometimes preachers get in the bad habit of talking about all these great things, and they never tell you how. You know, they title their sermon, "How to Have the Peace of God That Passes All Understanding," and you leave thinking, how? And that's what I want to solve. Because you guys might be sitting there thinking, well, it's great to talk about fellowship, and it's great for us to sit here and talk about this pie-in-the-sky dream. Where's the ladder to get there? And that's really what I want to talk about, because I realize all of you are busy. I want you to avoid, as we go along in this, saying, I can't. None of us can. All of us are busy. The person you look in the mirror and see every morning, they're busy. The person sitting next to you, they're busy too. The person behind you, they're busy. We're all busy. We all have to make the time. You may be busier than a lot of people. However, it is important for us to figure out ways we can do fellowship. I realize you're busy. Because I realize you're busy, I don't want to tell you all these things you need to do outside of everything else you do. That's not going to help. What I want to do is tell you how to do what you're already doing and also have the fellowship that you can enjoy. One of the things that they said that I like to do is I like to play golf. If you like to play golf, you don't want to play golf with me. I've never won a golf game. Everybody I've ever played with my entire life has beaten me by at least 10 strokes. I'm no good at golf, but I enjoy playing, and I've never gone by myself. I know people that enjoy going by themselves. A lot of what we're talking about is just like that. There are things we do by ourselves that we can do with other people. It doesn't take any more time. It doesn't take any more effort. It doesn't take any more planning. These are things we already do. And so now I want us to talk about how we can have fellowship with other people. If you read the comics, if you read Peanuts, Linus one time, he says, you know, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. I'm sorry, that really doesn't work. There's no such thing as mankind. All mankind is people. The people that you see every day, those are people, and they're mankind. If you love one, you love the other as well. Yes, some people are more difficult to get along with than other people are. But I have learned, again, that everybody is, they're trying their best. And they want relationships. They want people to care about them. And so, you know, that's really what we're asked to do. That's where prioritizing comes into play and saying, these things are more important than these other things. If I'm going to do fellowship, it's going to have to be a priority in my life. Now, if you read, I'm going to refer back to this again because, well, it's a long piece of material. But again, in the paper that I wrote, I spent a long time basically dividing up fellowship. I don't want to go into that because that's not the purpose for which we are here. We're not here to divide up fellowship and do all the stuff I did in the book. What I want us to do first is I want you to realize that our first priority is to participate in the church's fellowship now. The church is doing a lot of stuff. I know Palm Beach Lakes is doing a lot of stuff. You know, Jupiter does a lot of stuff. The church that you're a part of already has fellowship ideas and things in place. Do those. You know, support those all you can, because a lot of elders and a lot of preachers put time into these things, and they fail not because they're not good ideas, but because they're not supported. And so I want you guys to, at least within yourselves, make the promise to yourself, you know, to support those things, to be involved in the fellowship opportunities that exist. And so, you know, that's the first thing you know, to be involved in those things. I know as Christians, we want to evangelize. We want people to come to the services of the church. And so a lot of times our first idea, or what we think our first priority is to get people to come to church. Well, we see somebody at this particular thing, we're friends with them, we go to work with them, we want to invite them to come to church. That is a great priority. I do want to add something right before that. Our first priority, it seems, should be first to make fellowship or worship, to make those events times that people do not want to miss out on. You know, when we get together as a congregation, our first priority is to make that time something people don't want to miss out on. You know, we have people that drop into church. I'm sure here at Palm Beach Lakes and at Stewart and at all our congregations, we have the random visitor that comes in. And they may never come back. Our first priority is to make the church a place where when they come in and they don't want to miss out anymore. Because remember, if a person lives a perfect life, they never sin, they never have a bad thought, just like Adam before Satan came in. Still, without relationships, there's something there that is not good. And so, you know, first make the church the place where people don't want to miss out on what's going on. And then bring those people in. Then they're going to see, I don't want to miss out on this stuff. I don't want to miss out on the way that these people can love me where I am and try to get me to where I need to be. And so when we're talking about fellowship, first is by participating in and helping the work that's going on. And really, I guess the best way to put it is if we're having fun, more than likely everyone else is going to be having fun too. But also it's by taking responsibility for our relationships. And here I'm not preaching to you any more than I'm preaching to me. I fail at this as much as anybody else. How many of us meant to call somebody today or yesterday and never did? I'm thinking of somebody in particular that I meant to call today. I haven't. How many of us have relationships that we've let, you know, slide by for whatever reason? And how many of us, you know, put off that relationship and sort of blame it on the other person? It's sort of, why haven't they called me? We have to take responsibility for our relationships and do everything we can. And do everything we can to build up those relationships. We have to get involved with other people. It's hard for us, but it's hard for them too. How many of us want to get to know somebody? But we don't, because we don't really know them that well. We don't know whether we should talk to them or not. And we have to take the responsibility and actually, you know, take that first step. There are a lot of books that I've read. One of the books that I really enjoyed, probably my favorite book outside the Bible, is a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And there's a line in that book that I love and that really fits into what we're talking about. You know, he says, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And that's true. Our goal as Christians is not first to tell other people what they need. It's by first telling them, we need you, God loves you. You know, what's going on in your life? And that involves fellowship, because we're looking at other people and saying, what do they need? What do they want? What can I do for them? How can I serve them? You know, Jesus Christ was a servant, and he came to be served rather than to serve. And that's also our responsibility as well. But part of that, you know, whenever we talk about fellowship, the first thing, I don't know about you, the first thing that comes to my mind are the like fellowship meals after church, different events like that. Maybe I'm sticking my foot in my mouth just a little bit, but I've talked to a lot of people who feel this way. Before the events, like let's say before a fellowship meal, I'll pick on it just because it's something probably all of us do. I don't know if you have yours on Sunday evening or not, we do. You know, you get home Sunday afternoon and you think, I really don't want to go in there and cook something. It just takes forever. I have a lot of things to do today. You're going to go, and you're going to have a lot of fun. But before you go, there's that part of you that says, you know, I really don't want to go. Does anybody else go through that as well? You know, there's the joke about the man who's asleep on Sunday morning, and his wife, you know, she comes into the bedroom, and she says, you wake up, we've got to go to church. And he says, I don't want to go to church. Leave me alone. I don't want to go. And 5 minutes later, the wife comes back in and says, listen, you've got to get up. We got to go to church. We're going to be late. And the man says, I don't want to go. Nobody likes me. Song leader doesn't like me. The elders don't like me. Nobody likes me up there. It's not any fun. The sermons are always boring. I don't want to go. And the wife says, well, you've got to get up because you're the preacher. There are times for all of us, whether we admit it or not, when we're just tired. Those are the times where our responsibility comes into play. And those are also the times when, again, just like we said before, our first priority is to make the events things that other people don't want to miss out on, because then they're things we don't want to miss out on. When we have the fellowship meals, etc., those are the times when I go home and I think, you know, that was a lot of fun. Usually I don't eat a whole lot at the fellowship meals, generally because I talk most of the time. But I have a lot of fun. I don't go for the food. The food's great, but I don't eat that much. I go because I'm spending the time with these people. You know, the people that I love and that I enjoy being around. What I want you to do, I don't have a paper up here. Actually, I guess I could get one of these. What I want you to do, and you know, this is a breakout session. And the breakout sessions that I've been a part of, they involve breaking out, for lack of a better way of putting it. I don't know if you have a pen. If you have a pen, it'll be a whole lot easier to write. If you don't have a pen, I really can't help you, because I didn't think about getting pens beforehand. On the second sheet of paper, you've got a lot of blank lines. When we're talking about fellowship, fellowship is friendship. It's being with those people that you want to be with. And like we said at the beginning, I'm not about the pie in the sky stuff. I want you to know how to do it. What are we doing? What is fellowship? And so what I want to do, I'm going to list off something, and I want you to think of that particular thing. And then when we do that, write it down, and you'll understand as you go along. The first one, for example, is think of a store that you like to go to. Maybe you like to grocery shop. That does make you weird, but it's still okay. Maybe you like going to the mall. For some of us guys, maybe we like to go to Lowe's or the outdoor store. Think of a store that you like to go to and write that in. Actually, I have a couple of pens. Does anybody want one? Think of a store that you like to go to. And then as you're thinking of that, as you're writing that store down, think about who else likes to go to that store. What do I go there for? You guys may not know this. A couple of you might. But we're going to close on our first home on the 14th. Really exciting. There's a hole in our kitchen. We look down under where the washing machine is. We can see sunshine. That's not normal as far as I know. We've got to fix that. That's going to involve a trip to Lowe's. That's going to have me learn how to repatch a wall and all those things. Well, it would be a lot easier if there's somebody else that's already done that that can help me. Not only does that make me get off the hook a little bit, not only is the hole going to be fixed better, but that's somebody else that I've had time to spend with. I didn't do something on my own. I've got a friend there that's done it with me. So, you know, for example, think of a store you like to go to and write that in. And then after you write it in on your own, who can I go with? I hate grocery shopping. Wouldn't it be easier if I shared it with somebody who can make it more fun? Those sorts of things. Think of an outside activity that you like to do. Tennis, golf, gardening, fishing, bicycling, things like that. Think of an outside activity that you like to do and write that in. And again, as you're writing it in, think, who can I have do this with me? Getting on a bicycle and riding around isn't a whole lot of fun, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like to bicycle. It'd be more fun with somebody that I really admire and appreciate, with a good friend of mine. Think, too, of an inside activity that you like to do. Not necessarily something you do, something you'd like to do. I like to play Monopoly. I don't have anybody to play Monopoly with. My wife hates Monopoly. I like to do it. Wouldn't it be better if I could find somebody else that likes to and we could play together? That's why we're having a game night on the 15th at church. Things that an inside activity that you like to do, maybe that you get somebody else involved in. Think of something that you do on the weekends, other than church, obviously. You can put church, but we're thinking outside the box as well. Something that you do on Saturday or Sunday, like go to the park, go to the library, go out to eat for breakfast. There's this thing called football, and it usually happens on the weekends too. You can put that down if you like. Think of something that's seasonal, something you do in the spring or the summer, or the fall or the winter. Hurricane shutters come to mind. Christmas lights, Christmas shopping. March Madness happens sometime during the year too, and if you like that, you can write that down. Write down something that you do seasonally that, well, if it's Christmas lights again, wouldn't it be a lot easier to do that with somebody else? Don't they have to do Christmas shopping too? Maybe you could go together. Maybe you could do these things, especially hurricane shutters. If we could get a group of five or six guys together and go put up shutters at everybody's house at once, we'd probably get on a lot faster, and it wouldn't kill anybody. And so we can do that as well. Think of things that you do, but you really don't like. Mowing the yard here comes to mind. I suppose we could put hurricane shutters there too. Again, think of people you can do those sorts of things with. Something that you should do, but you don't want to do. Again, exercise. Maybe you've been wanting to go on a diet. You've been wanting to study a particular subject. You've been wanting to read a book or get a self-help book, those sorts of things. Think of something that you admire about someone else. This one was a little harder for me because, well, things like, I know somebody that knows a foreign language and really admire that about them. Maybe I should take a foreign language with somebody else. Maybe I should learn from them or take the classes they're taking, things of that nature. Think of a place that you want to go but you've never have gone. The Murakami Museum, the zoo. My wife and I went to New York for a day. We went up there for one day. We came back the next morning. Tickets were $9 a piece. Cost us about $100. Believe it or not, 9 plus 9 is about $100. What would it have been like if I could have taken another couple with us? Go to New York for a day for two couples. It's been a lot more fun. Think of a hobby that you enjoy, whether you do it or not. And this one, I'm specifically thinking of things like a book club. Well, a book club would be a lot of fun. I think I would enjoy that. It's really hard to have a book club on your own. What if you met together with some people and you went through a book and read about it? There are a lot of great books, and there are a lot of books that are much better whenever you analyze them with friends and you talk about what's going on. You learn a lot. Maybe if you really like to read, you can get together and you can find books that are really great books that you wouldn't have thought about. Again, all of these are just things I want you to think about. There are more in the book, but these are the kinds of things where you think, what are things I like to do that I enjoy doing that I can have other people do with me? Where they can take a part in what I'm doing as well. Jesus gives us the best example of what individual relationships should look like. Yes, he had 12 disciples, but he had individual relationships with every one of them. He traveled with them, he ate with them, he slept beside them on the dirt, he traveled with them, he traveled a whole lot, he walked everywhere. And he spent all of his time with these same 12 people. And we know that one of them thought of himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And as far as we know, what he means there is he was amazed that Jesus loved him as much as he did. I imagine every disciple felt that way. There are people in the world who want someone to love them like Jesus loved John. And we can be that person. But it's important for us to figure out how to do that. There's no way that we can make an impact on people in 1 hour a day in Bible class. That's all. We spend 1 hour a day in Bible class. How many of us, when we go to church, how many of us can think about all the people who just come to worship and to Bible class and you probably never, ever see or talk to another Christian all week? We cannot have an impact on those people. And what's worse, those people cannot have an impact on us. Those people have amazing parts of their life that we won't know about, characteristics that we won't learn. And so we've got to connect with those people as well. Many of you may be thinking, I'm not lonely. I've got a lot of friends inside and outside the body of Christ. I'm involved in worship. I'm involved in these people's lives. We have fellowship. But there are a lot of people, who do not have a single friend other than their spouse. Not one. And I don't know the statistics. They're in the book. There are a lot of people who don't have those friends. And we can be those friends. You may have a lot of friends. You may not be lonely. There are a lot of people who are. And we can help those people. In Jesus' longest prayer, he specifically prayed for us. You may be thinking, I can't have that kind of impact by myself. You can't. And that's why Jesus prayed in John for us, that we would be sanctified, that we would be pure, and that we would be one, that we would be unified, that we would have this fellowship as God enjoys it as well. You know, Psalm 133 and verse 1 comes to mind. He says, behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That's what we're asked to do. That's what fellowship is. You know, we have a few minutes left. In fact, I don't think we have any time left. We have a few minutes left, like three. In the time that we have left, I don't want to quit early because I know I want to hold you guys at least a minute late so that everybody else can get their corn first. You don't mind that, do you? No. In the time we have left, I want you to think back over the list that I gave you before. How many of you wrote down football? That you like to watch football on Saturday and Sunday and Monday? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Got about 10 or 11 or 12 people in here. How many of you watch it by yourself or with one other person in your household? How many of you, I do this. How many of you guys get in your kitchen and you're really excited about football? I do this every once in a while when the Colts are playing. You get in there and you get your little bowl of chips. You get your little bowl of salsa. You get like a steak or some really nice little thing. And you get your soda and you go in there and you sit down and you have this little personal football party. About once a year. How many of you guys actually do that? I do that every so often. Isn't it really sad that we've got a dozen people in this room who like to watch football and we do it by ourselves? Wouldn't it be better if we could all go over to Tillman's house? Have him cook all the food and we go over there and eat it? Be a lot easier for us. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't mind you guys coming over to my house once we're moved in, and then maybe we go over to somebody else's house. How much more time would it take? Not much. Ladies, I'm talking specifically to the ladies who don't watch football. How many of you guys would like to get rid of your husbands for a night? I would hope all of you. My wife has literally told me before, listen, in essence, go away, I need some time by myself. And that's fine, that's perfectly understandable. How great would it be, and I'm making this up basically as I go along, how great would it be if us guys that like to watch football could go over to somebody's house and go to different places on Monday, watch the football game, the ladies could take care of everything at home for that night, then some other time in the week, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, whatever night, let those same ladies, let them go out, let them spend time together. Us men, we can take care of it for a night. All that is fellowship. Doing what we enjoy doing and doing it together and vastly more than likely having a whole lot more fun doing it than we do on our own. I do appreciate your attention greatly, and apparently we're going to eat after this. That's what I've heard. And so as we close, I do want to go ahead and say a prayer for the food, and then I suppose even though I don't see anybody else leaving, we can go ahead and go. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, for the opportunity we have to be here. We thank you for the congregation here, for everything it means to the local community and to the body of Christ as a whole. We thank you for the great work that they're doing here and for putting on this lectureship for us. We thank you for giving us your word and giving us the ability that we have to study it and understand it. We thank you also for the friends that we have, for the people in our lives that mean so much to us. We ask that you would help us to realize all the great things that we have and to use the time that we have to best benefit you and your kingdom. We ask that you would be with us, help us in everything that we do that may seek to do your will first in our lives and throughout our lives. Help us as we partake of this food that may do so to nourish our bodies and that we may do your service. Be with all of those that have prepared the meal, and bless them in their work as well. Be with us always, guide us and protect us. For it is in Christ's name we pray.